are now listening to The Air Raid, a podcast put on by the writers of Viva the Matadors, an SB Nation site covering everything Texas Tech athletics.
Hey everybody, it is Wes from Viva the Matadors again with you. Episode 4. Sorry we missed last week. I guess summer vacations started for everyone on the site right about the same time. So, didn't get one done last week, but I've got Drew and Jonathan here with me today to crank out another Air Raid podcast. What's up, fellas?
What's up?
How you doing?
I am well. We will go ahead and jump right in unless there's anything you guys want to start out with.
Let's go for it.
All right. So this has been a pretty big topic on our site and just amongst Red Raiders in general who follow recruiting. But the approach this year seems to be different in the fact that the coaches are seeing players and immediately offering them and not going after maybe the Johnson, the receiver out of Louisiana last year, not going for top-ranked recruits necessarily, or according to the Rivals and Scouts of the world, not going after the top-ranked guys, but more just if they like a guy they see at the camp or if they are at a school and see the guy they like, they just offer him no matter who's after him, no matter what anyone else thinks of him. What do you guys think of that approach? Drew, since you're kind of the weekly scouting guy for us, we'll start with you.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of like it. It's, you know, different. I like targeting the lower level guys because, you know, they can blossom into, you know, a big time recruit. You know, a lot of these guys that we are offering, when we offer them, they're unrated by the sites. And then, you know, a few weeks later, they'll put their rankings and it's, you know, it's usually like a 2-star or a 3-star type of guy. But I mean, I like this approach because, you know, we can target those 5-star and 4-star guys. But, you know, to be realistic, those guys are getting offers from, you know, USC, Notre Dame, you know, big-time programs. Whereas, you know, Texas Tech, we had a down year. You know, it would be pretty hard for us to snag some of those guys. So I think the coaching staff has taken a realistic approach this year, you know, targeting guys, you know, within our range that, you know, we have a chance of landing. So I do like that. I like how if they see someone stand out at their camp, they're not afraid to, you know, offer them. And, you know, that's what we've been doing here lately. But, yeah, I do like the approach of targeting the lower-level guys because you never know. You know, you can get a 5-star guy that ends up doing nothing, or you can get a 2- or 3-star guy that ends up doing nothing. But, you know, the expectations for them, you know, are lower than the higher guys. So if we get a 2-star, a 3-star guy, and he ends up playing valuable minutes for us, then, you know, that's, I see that as a win-win situation for us.
Jonathan, what do you think?
Yeah, I like the whole flying under the radar kind of thing that we're taking that approach. I like us going for players that seem to want to play for Tech. I know we got one guy that said he grew up a Red Raiders fan, and I like to see that. I think that a player will try harder for somewhere that he wants to be, as opposed to some guy that thought he was going to go maybe to Austin or Norman, and now he's stuck in Lubbock. A lot of high school players might not like that. But if they're willing to play for Tech, I think that's more power for us. We'll be able to get more out of that player, whether they're a 2-star or a 5-star. I like that we're going after so many people, too. We're not hesitant at all. If we see a guy and we like him, we offer him right away. We don't go back and, oh, let's talk to everybody. Let's think about this. Just offer him right away. No harm in telling a kid that you want him to play for you. And I think that's working for us. So we've got, I think, 19 recruits right now. I saw that one went a little bit soft on us this week. I think it was a running back. But I do like what we've done, and hopefully we keep going. Only the beginning of recruiting so far.
Yeah, and that was I think D. Leon Ward that you were mentioning. And
yes, yeah.
He'd shot out on Twitter a couple of tweets that were, I don't know, they were I can't remember the exact verbiage. It was just kind of like, I need to, you know, do what's best for me and decide where I want to play. And so there was just some, you know how these kids are. You never know until you get them signed. But we'll see what ends up happening with him. As far as the recruiting approach goes, I like it. If you like a guy, it doesn't matter who's recruiting him, where he's from, if he wants to play for you, you know, put an offer in front of him, let's get him to campus. One of my biggest frustrations last year was I knew the whole time that Johnson was going to end up at LSU, yet we were relentless in chasing him and wasting resources, of which a school like us doesn't have the resources to throw so many dollars, so much travel time at one player. And I think we bombed pretty dramatically, and everyone saw it coming except for maybe the coach and staff. So I didn't like that approach. I do like this approach. Maybe one day you get to the point where you can recruit those 4- and 5-star guys. But like you said, Drew, coming off a 4-8 season, you got to be realistic. So do you guys have a favorite recruit up to this point, a guy who stands out for some reason? You just hope he's one that sticks with us?
Yeah, I mean, you could easily say Jet Duffy, which I think, you know, I don't think he's going anywhere. Mine, you know, straying away from Jet would be Dante Coleman, because when he first committed and I looked at his film and did my little weekly write up, like he's 6'4", like 220 pounds. He's a big, physical, nasty player. He's not afraid to, you know, seal the edge and just lay a nasty block or block downfield. And then when he does get thrown the ball, you know, he's got hands and the body to go up and make a play, fight through traffic, you know. And then once he gets the ball, he'll lower his shoulder, he'll truck, you know, whoever's coming after him. He's just a real physical player, and I hope he sticks around with us. I know here lately UT has been pursuing him pretty heavily, so I really hope that he does stick with us. I know on his Twitter he does, you know, talk about Tech and what have you, so it's nice to see that. But yeah, I really like Dante Coleman. You know, if he comes and stays with us, you know, puts on a few more pounds, he could very easily be the next Jason Mara, in my opinion.
John, what do you think?
I like Dante as well. I'm a fan of the tight end, especially after Amaro left. And I know we've got one kid coming out of Ennis, but I think Coleman is going to be a little bit better than that. I do like Jet a lot, but right now my favorite one is probably going to be Vasher. I know he's our only 4-star right now, but the relationship that he has with Eric Ward and just everything I've heard from Eric, he sounds like just a really good kid and a great kind of athlete, not only a wide receiver, but just a guy that wants to get himself to be the top that he can be in whatever he does. Like to see that in an athlete. And I know Eric said glowing things about TJ and how he's looked up to him ever since he was a ball boy back when Eric was a player at Rider.
Oh, well, I hadn't read that. That's interesting.
I think that was in the radio interview that Eric did. And yeah, he said TJ's looked up to him ever since then. And so he was hoping that he would go to Tech, and sure enough, he went ahead and committed to us. So that'll be an interesting story to follow.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Throughout this season. And then on to next year when he's coming to Lubbock.
Yeah, I would say mine is Ivory Jackson for two reasons. Number one, he's a West Texas kid. I love hanging on to West Texas talent. And then number two, and maybe more importantly, is he's a defensive lineman. And I think that we should take as many defensive linemen, high school defensive linemen, in every class as we could get, because we don't seem to get the top guys. So if we can't get the top quantity, let's get as many as we can. So I would say Ivory Jackson. I hope we hold on to him. He looks like a player from his film, and like I said, West Texas kid, defensive lineman, hard to go wrong. All right, so we'll move on and shoot through just a couple of questions on the season. I know we still have 2 months to go, 2.5 months to go, but, you know, why not? So Let's start with the Sam Houston and UTEP games. You think we'll know anything about this team after those two games, Jonathan?
I hope not. I think if we know anything after those two games, it's going to be bad.
I 100% agree with you.
Because after UCA and UTEP last year, I know we all were cautiously optimistic, but the reality of it was we did not perform well against those two teams. And I think the same thing can be said for Sam Houston State and UTEP. Sam Houston State isn't a pushover. I saw something that said they've won the most games in the state of Texas of any team in the past 5 years.
Oh, wow.
Now, I don't know how much of that has been inflated from winning multiple playoff rounds, but they are one of the top FCS teams every year. So they're not going to be a pushover. We don't need to take them lightly. But at the same time, we need to show them that we are an FBS team and not an FCS team. We need to beat them handily, especially being the opening game for us. And the same thing goes with UTEP. We need to beat UTEP up. We need to show that we are going to be able to play with the big boys of the Big 12. And so if we do know anything after those two games, it's not going to be good. I have a feeling the only thing we're going to know is how bad we might be, not how good we can be.
Yeah, I think we've all seen those games where we beat, you know, random directional U 56-7 and think, oh, we're great, here we go, it's going to be a great season. And then, you know, it ends up another 7-5 season. So I agree with you. I think it's only the bad that we'll know. We won't know how good we're going to be until down the line. Drew, what do you think?
Yeah, I would agree in the sense that, you know, if we go out and beat Sam Houston by 7 and then beat UTEP by 3, you know, that could, you know, that can make for a long season. When I did my top 10 games, I put UTEP at 10 and Sam Houston at 9, just in the fact that, you know, in our performances, we can compare it to how we played last year. You know, Sam Houston, their quarterback last year was 1 yard shy of 1,000 yards rushing and threw over 3,000 yards and over 20 touchdowns. So, I mean, they do have an athlete at quarterback, so it will be a good test for us to see how we can play against, you know, an athletic quarterback. And, you know, hopefully it's not one of those games where we squeak by and win by 7 like we did Central Arkansas. So, I mean, hopefully, you know, we went by, you know, 2 touchdowns or more there. That would give me a little bit more confidence compared to how we entered the season last year. And then UTEP, you know, it'll be our first test against, you know, a true ground and pound team. You know, they ran it up and down on us last year. So if we can, you know, stop the run, I know it's still UTEP, but I mean, if we can go in there and, you know, our defense looks good against the run, then, you know, that hopefully will set us up for Arkansas the next week. But yeah, I think it will. Sam Houston will give us a look at a very versatile quarterback. You know, that he is FCS, but he is a good quarterback. And then UTEP, you know, prep us for, you know, the running game. So I'm glad we're kind of playing those two teams to start the season off. But yeah, hopefully it's not, you know, a 7-point win followed up by a 3-point win or anything like that.
Yeah, and historically, as we all know, and Tech fans know, we have struggled with the dual threat quarterbacks in the past. So hopefully that's not an issue with the Sam Houston game. Hopefully we can make UTEP a passing team by shutting down their run, and if that's the case, that's going to bode well for us beating them by multiple touchdowns. So speaking of games, and you kind of led into this, Drew, is there a swing game this year that's going to dictate how the rest of the season goes, in y'all's opinion? Drew, why don't you hop in first on that one?
Yeah, if you look at the schedule there at the, you know, end of September into October, it's a pretty tough 3-game set right there, Arkansas, TCU, and Baylor. And I'm looking at the Baylor game because, you know, let's, you know, say we go to Arkansas and we lose. You know, they're an awesome running team. Everyone's got high expectations on them this year. So let's say we go to Arkansas, we lose, then we play TCU open the Big 12 play. You know, they're easily one of the best teams in the nation. So, you know, say we lose that one, that Baylor game, you know, if we lose two straight right there, if we start Big 12 play 0-1 and we go to and we play Baylor and we lose, you know, that's three losses in a row starting off Big 12 play 0-2. So I'm seeing that Baylor game being, you know, the swing game. If we start Big 12 play 0-2, that could, you know, be a start of the ending for us. If we, you know, have that three loss streak right there, you know, it the I see the Baylor game as being that swing game for this upcoming season.
Yeah, and I looked at those just like you said. I looked at those three games and thought, okay, which one of these is the most is a must win? And I didn't think Arkansas was a must win. It'd be a nice win. It'd be a hell of a win to start or to get us jumped into Big 12 play, but I didn't feel like it was a must win. And TCU at home, I feel like would be similar to Arkansas and it'd be a great win, but didn't feel like it was a must win. And so I'm with you. I thought, well, if there's one we have to have, it's Baylor at the back end of that, merely for the fact that, just like you said, you start Big 12 0-2, so you're out of the Big 12 race before it's even started. You've got a losing record after five games, so almost halfway through the season, and you're 2-3, a game under 500. So it just sets up really bad the rest of the season when you still have Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, West Virginia, and Texas on the schedule, and you've already got three losses. So 100% agree with that. I think Baylor's a swing game for us. Jonathan, what do you think? You feel any different?
I'm going to go a little bit further. I'm going to go to that next game against Iowa State because I think realistically we're overmatched by Arkansas, TCU, and Baylor. So I would not be surprised at all if we go 0-3 in that and start those first five games with a losing record.
You're not making Red Raider Nation happy with that prediction, by the way.
I said that I think we're overmatched, not that I don't think we'll be able to win. We always seem to win one game that we're not supposed to win. But if we do go 2-3, then we've got Iowa State coming into the Jones, and that's homecoming. And to lose that game, I know that's not what anybody wants to hear, but to lose that game would be pretty bad. But if we were able to win that, we'd get back to a 500 overall record. We'd be going to Lawrence with a chance to regain a 500 record in Big 12. And so I think that Iowa State game is going to be that could be that swing game. We're going to be ending the first part of the heavy part of the schedule before we have to face West Virginia, Kansas State, and UT in 3 or 4 weeks. So I think that Iowa State game is going to be that swing game that we're going to have.
Yeah, and it was funny. I wrote an article yesterday talking about a dream scenario season. We'll talk about it in just a second. But Iowa State has been a tough game for us of late. I mean, I think we're 4-2 in our last six games versus them, and only two of those four wins have we had by double digits. And you just think Iowa State, and you think, that's a given. But it has, you know, of late it hasn't been. In fact, they came in here and blew our doors off. What was it, 41-7? The week after we went to Norman, and Dagey and the Red Raiders beat the Sooners in Norman, and then came home and lost 41-7 to yep. Iowa State. So, yeah, so you make a good point, because that's definitely, based on the recent history, it's not going to be a pushover game for us at all. So to lose that one would be an absolute devastation to the season. All right, so then kind of mention this. My article yesterday on Dream Scenario, I predicted 9-3 with losses to Arkansas. I would love for us to go into Fayetteville and beat the Hogs. I just don't see a realistic scenario where that happens. I had us losing to TCU at home. I think offensively they just have a little bit more firepower than us. And then I had us losing on the back end of the season to Texas and Austin on Thanksgiving Day. The Longhorns have owned us. And so it was a dream scenario, I said, but it was also a dream yet realistic scenario. So the best I could come up with was 9-3. Losses again to Arkansas, TCU, and Texas. Do either of you guys feel like we could do that? Do a little better? Do a little worse? I mean, in your dream slash realistic scenario, what do you see the Red Raiders peaking at this season if everything absolutely falls into place for them? Jonathan?
That's tough. To me, I see us having five games this year that are going to be incredibly difficult to win. That's going to be those three in Arkansas, home against TCU, and then here in Arlington against Baylor. Then we've got to go to Norman, and Oklahoma doesn't lose much in Norman. I know we were able to do it a few years ago, but it just doesn't happen very often. And then Thanksgiving night in Austin, that's going to be just as tough. I know we're going to have the week before that off. That's one of our two open dates. But 9-3 is going to really be pushing it. If we're able to go 9-3, something miraculous happened. Maybe Mahomes is the next Cliff Kingsbury, the next Graham Harrell, and is able to throw for 600 yards and no interceptions every game. Our defense is able to solve the run against Arkansas, but I just don't see 9-3 happening.
Yeah, and I base it on OU being fairly unsettled at quarterback. I mean, if the best they're going to throw out there is Mayfield, who hasn't played in a year and was pretty turnover prone when he was here, if that's the best they're going to throw out, then we may have a chance. Baylor, I kind of thought the same thing because Big 12 play, I said this in the article, in fact. I mean, it's a lot of it's dictated on who has the better quarterback that day when it comes to all the high-powered offenses. So I thought, maybe Mahomes will overmatch Russell and we'll get a win there. So those are the two differences in ours. And even though Mahomes should be a better quarterback than Swoops at the time they play, I still think Texas' defense is going to make the difference in that one. And them being at home and them having the mental edge on us, having been us like the redheaded stepchild for however many years it's been now, since 08, I think. But, Drew, what do you think?
Yeah, 9-3 would definitely be pretty hard. You know, looking at the schedule, you know, I think Arkansas – you know, they're going to be good this year. I have that racked up as a loss. TCU lost just because they're going to be one of the top teams in the nation. Baylor, I feel like, you know, last year, you know, we went toe-to-toe with them. I feel like this year, you know, we could pull out that win. You know, it just – it's hard to tell right now, you know. But, I mean, it's going to be – I think that's going to be a close game. And then – I mean, like you said, Oklahoma, you know, their quarterback situation right now is a little dicey. So I feel like, you know, we could possibly pull that one out. The one I'm looking at is the Kansas State game. I mean, they have owned us here as of late. You know, in my preview, I mentioned, you know, they seem to, you know, lose players, but they have someone step right in and don't miss a beat. So I feel like that game, you know, like I said, they have just put a spanking on us here lately. So that's going to be a tough game. I actually think that this year, hopefully, since the first time my freshman year, our game against Texas, I think it's going to be, you know, a close game. Hopefully, we'll be able to pull out the win. I mean, their quarterback situation is not that great right now either. So, I mean, I feel like we could go into Austin, pull that one out on Thanksgiving. So, I mean, a dream scenario for me would be that 9-3, you know, losing to TCU, Baylor, Kansas State. But realistically, you know, a dream season for me would just be making a bowl game. You know, going 7-5 would be perfectly fine with me. You know, rebounding, you know, that would help out with recruiting and what have you. So a dream scenario to me would just be going, you know, 7-5 and making a bowl game.
Man, come on, Drew. Dream a little bit bigger. Yeah. No, hey, I would be perfectly happy with 7-5, get back to a bowl game, and let's carry some momentum with a 3-win improvement from one season to the next and see what we can get rolling with. You know, a head coach, or not just a head coach, but a coaching staff that's now would have a year more experience and a quarterback who's still coming back for two more years. So I would be happy with that. But I'll dream a little bit bigger, two wins bigger than you, Drew. I think that's all I have. Anything else, guys? Any you guys have anything on your mind you want to get out, get off your chest?
Not this week.
Not this week. Drew, anything from you?
I started my food bracket since there's not a lot going on, and
there's been a ton of feedback. I mean, there's been feedback on the site, on Facebook, and on Twitter. I mean, people like, I forget what all it was, but Dion's was one. I mean, everyone was upset that theirs wasn't, that their favorite joint wasn't on the list, didn't make the cut.
Yeah, I mean, I just did all my personal ones pretty much because, I mean, I've been out of school for 3 years now, so I try to do ones that people, you know, that maybe have graduated 10 years ago, what have you, would be familiar with. And, you know, there's so much new stuff going up in Lubbock all the time, but I just try to do the 16 I can remember, try to break it down into the food genre. But, yeah, Dion's is hooking me up with a sweet gift card for putting them in it, so I thought that was pretty cool. But
that's awesome.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
My vote is for one, guys. Every time I go back to a football game, the one place that I have to eat is one, guys.
Yeah, I'm predicting one, guys, and Spanky's in the final. But, I know some people are upset because their spot isn't on there, but I just try to do 16 everyone could remember. But, yeah, I think that'll be a pretty cool little bracket throughout the summer.
And you had a nice break from – you know, me regurgitating old football stats. Well, cool. Well, appreciate your time, fellas. We will hopefully be back. We should be back again next week for episode 5. And thanks for listening. Thanks for supporting the site. And thanks, Jonathan and Drew, for chatting today.
You're welcome.
No problem. Thanks.
All right. Thanks, guys.